Answer me this. Are you a morning person? Maybe an afternoon person? Perhaps you're a night owl? Perhaps you feel like you never really get moving? Well, regardless of how you would classify yourself, you deserve to have a morning routine that serves you, that sets you up for success. Now, before you start rolling your eyes and go, oh, I've heard all about the morning routine stuff and all the things that we're all supposed to do and journal and meditate and yoga, and I just don't have time for that or I don't like it. Guess what? That is not what I'm going to tell you. Instead, I am thrilled to tell you about my annual free event coming up called Master Your Morning. And over the course of 5 days, 30 minutes or less each day, I'm going to teach you how to create your own unique morning routine based on two things, your unique personality type, and secondly, the realities of your home life, right? You may not have a lot of time for a morning routine. And that's what this free workshop is all about. So if you want to come join, head over to megansumrall.com/masteryourmorning. And I promise you, at the end of it, you are going to have a completely different relationship with the morning. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Work-Life Harmony. Really excited today to take a deep dive into talking about delegation with our new guest, Selena. Now, before you think, okay, this is going to be all around like corporate setting delegation, it isn't. She has an amazing five-step system that we're going to talk about, both from an angle of, you know, if you are running a team or a business or anything, and you do have people ultimately that report to you, how that looks in more of a work setting, but also how do we translate this back into our own home to maybe help lighten the load a little bit. So I'm really excited for you all to meet Selena here today, and let's go ahead and get things started. Welcome to the Work-Life Harmony Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Sumrall. I'm the creator of the Top Program and Top Planner, teaching all things time management, organization, and productivity for women. I'm also a mom and wife, and just like you, I'm juggling hashtag all the things while running multiple businesses and a family. Guess what? You don't have to feel constantly overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out. There is another way. When you have the right systems and tools to plan and manage your time, you can live a life of harmony. This is your show to learn from me and other amazing women how to master your time, planning, and organization to skyrocket your productivity so you can have work-life harmony. If you're ready to stop feeling overwhelmed, this is the show for you. And if you're new here, I'd love to get you started with my work-life harmony assessment. All you have to do is DM me on Instagram at Megan Sumrall with the word harmony, and my team will send it right over. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Work-Life Harmony. I have a new guest today, and after reading everything about her, like I had to stop because I didn't want to spoil it for myself to unpack all of this amazing method that Selena has. But today we're really going to be talking about delegation. And I think delegation is so important when we are on a quest for work-life harmony, because one of the things we all have to come to grips with is, guess what? We can't do it all. We can't be everything to everyone. We can't be doing all the things that we desire to do. So Selena, welcome to the show. I would love it if you would kind of introduce yourselves and let us know how you got into this line of work, being an expert around the topic of delegation.
Right. Thanks. Amazing intro. Thank you, Megan. So yes, my name is Selena Johnson. I'm a mother with two girls, 7 and 9, and I'm also a business owner. I set up my business for more time freedom to allow me to work on my own terms, but also to be around my kids as well, to be able to have the opportunity to go to their sports day or not have to ask to take time out of work. And now what I do is within my business is help CEOs to free their time by leveraging their team. So teaching them how to effectively delegate in their business.
Delegation is so important and yet so challenging, whether it's delegation in a business sense or even just delegation around the house. I think, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, I feel like the number one reason I know for myself and a lot of women I talk to on why we're so hesitant to do it is falling into the trap of, it's just faster if I do it than teach someone else how to. Is that something that you hear a lot?
Absolutely. It's all in my head. I can't explain it. No one's going to do it better than me. It's quicker and easier and faster for me just to do it.
Love it. So you've got, I know your background was in operations, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So what? Tell us a little bit about that, on kind of your transition from that into what you're doing now.
Yeah, so when I was studying graphic design, I was working with businesses in operations, just helping them to find ways to simplify things. So that's always been what I love doing. I like looking at what's chaotic often. I love being in chaos to make it more simplified and more streamlined. So that line of work just continued. And I just love to be able to free up people's time, essentially, because I think that time is one of the most valuable things in resources. And it's about valuing our time. And I think it came from a point of when my mum is someone that's really what will roll up her sleeves and do the work. And that growing up at a young age, I saw that she was constantly working, great at her job being a social worker, but she was always working around the clock. And when she wasn't working, at home she was working. So she would be constantly cleaning, she would be in the garden, she was doing all things. And I just used to sit and look, I don't want to be like that. I can't see myself being like that, because you're like an octopus, multiple arms just going around everything. I said, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Love that. I feel like we have such a similar background in that, you know, desire to get into chaotic things and go, all right, let's figure this out and let's make it work better. So I know you have a 5-step method. I believe it's called I Love My Team. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about it. I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah. So I created these 5 steps because I noticed with business owners, when they came to me, it's that they wanted to grow their business, but often because they were just doing everything, it was affecting their home life. And I wanted to find a way that they could then essentially get their time back at home, whether that was with family or friends or just me time, but also have a business that can grow sustainably without them being reliant to be in it 24/7. So the 5 steps are communicate, clarify, command, cultivate, and then claim. So communicate is about being clear on what it is that you want, getting clear on your goals and your vision of where you are now and where you need to get to. So whether that's at home or in business, what is it that you're trying to achieve? And those people around you, whether that's your team members or those in your family members, getting clear on that as well so that they can support you. So in your personal life, if you want to, your goal for next year is that you want to be able to become a marathon runner, then how can they support you to get to that goal? If you haven't communicated that, they don't know what your ambitions are. That might mean that you need to have more time away from home. That means that they may need to help hold more responsibilities while you do training. What is it that they need to guide you with in those areas?
I think that's really important, especially around the house. Like, I think when I put my business hat on, I kind of feel like, well, of course I would communicate those things with my team members, right? Like, that makes sense. As a CEO, I would hope I have clearly defined goals and the team knows that. But I think it gets to be a slippery slope sometimes at home. And I know this was something I wished I'd learned earlier, was thinking the goals that I had for myself on a personal level, I kind of kept quiet and then would get frustrated when I didn't feel that in my household, things weren't shifting to support me on that. Yet I never actually sat down and said, you know, even to your point, your family would probably know if you were training for a marathon, but maybe there's something else that isn't so visibly obvious, to sit down at home and say, hey, this is something that's really important to me. I know a year ago when I decided I wanted to start taking cello lessons, it had to be a family conversation of, this means, you know, we're going to have to shift some responsibilities around the house in order for me to do this and have time to practice every day. So I think that communication piece sounds so obvious, but I think we think that maybe we've communicated when it's in our head when we haven't actually done that. So I love that that's where you start from. All right. So what's the second C then?
The second is clarify. That's getting clear on who you need on your team. Do you have the right people there for you, or do you need to up level that team or shift the players around? And in business, often we can bring people in, friends, family, people who are available tomorrow who might not be the right fit. So it's making sure, based on the communication of where you want to go, are these the right people, the key players? So if you look at any sports, there are always picking players who are going to be best for what the goal is, whether they want to win the championship or it's something that they want to win next year. They then have that strategy of who's going to come in based on that end goal. So that's key importance to, you know, in your family life. Is it that, and like you said, you want to do music lessons, but it's going to be difficult for you to juggle with a partner or somebody, an aunt or uncle. Maybe you need to step in and ask a neighbor or a friend to help. So it's like asking for help in other areas that you might not normally ask for, and not feeling like it's a weakness this, asking for that help. It's really coming to that realization that you can't do it all, and then getting that strong support to support you on the way.
Yeah, I think there are two parts of what you just said that I think really hit home for me. One is the, again, not feeling bad about asking for help. It's hard to do. I'm still in recovery and getting better about feeling good about asking for help. But I love what you alluded to at first when you're talking about, you know, hiring. A lot of times I think women, and again, I'm still a work in progress on people pleaser. We want to hire the friend that's trying to get started or the family member that's trying to earn some extra money, when maybe in our heart of hearts, we know that they may not be the person like on the sports field that the coach would be putting in to bring them across the home plate. Do you have any suggestions on how to kind of work through sometimes that inner conflict that we have of wanting to be supportive and helpful of other people, even when maybe we know that's not the best decision for that role?
I believe it's best not to drive an emotion, because otherwise it'd be really difficult then to make an executive decision. Smart. And it's different for everyone. If you're early stage in business, you don't want to really pay someone at that stage, or you don't want to hire someone full time and do your business. So you may adopt help from anyone. You can get anyone who's going to help you. So it's getting clear on, okay, what is the outcome? What do I want them to do for me? And getting clear and give them the principles. And that comes into command, actually. Getting clear on actually what is it that you need them to do, and making sure they understand it. Because essentially, if you're asking someone to do something and they don't do it correctly, then it comes back on you.
Right.
The example of that, like I said, I start giving my 9-year-old more chores to do. And I said to her, can you go and collect the bin? And she collected the bin. And then I was like, why is she taking so long to drag the bin up the driveway? And I realized that it was still full. They hadn't collected it. Normally they collect in the morning.
And so she's dragging the full trash bin all the way back.
So I needed to tell her, because she's new to that. That you need to check first inside, is it empty? If it's empty, then collect. But I wasn't specifying clearly and communicating what I wanted her, the outcome of that. So that's quite, and that then wastes time. If you're thinking of something on a grander scale and it's multiple tasks, if it's always coming back to you, that can take up a lot of time and effort for you if you've got limited time available. So it's clear about that commanding part, to get clear on the instructions as you deliver it to somebody.
And that was the third C, right? The command. Okay, so we've got communicate, clarify, command. And then what's the fourth one?
The fourth is to cultivate. That's to step up as a leader, to maximize your team or maximize business growth and sustainability within the business. So that's looking at how can you get people to understand the vision and values of the business, so that they really get it and understand it and want to grow and excel with the business, so that you then don't have to be in the day-to-day, in the weeds, essentially, because anything that comes up, a challenge comes up, they understand how to action that without you getting involved in every single thing.
Gotcha. So it sounds like, because at first I was thinking, okay, difference between cultivate and communicate. But with the way you've explained it, I could kind of see, you know, I may have communicated things clearly, but I know we've hit the cultivate. Perhaps when a team member is coming to me saying, hey, I saw this problem, I have this idea, and kind of being a lot more proactive than just maybe kind of responding to tasks. Is that a fair way to assess that?
Yeah, absolutely. I could talk about the 7 delegation steps. And like, step one is do this, do exactly how I tell you to do it, follow these steps, and let me know once you've done it, and I'll tell you what to do next. Whereas like delegation step of 7 is, it's just been actioned. I don't even need to know about it because I know it's been done to the standards it needs to be at.
Okay, I want to circle back to that one. But first, I want to go to the fifth C.
Yes, claim. And that's to claim your time back. So that's to do more of the things that warm your heart. And sometimes we feel guilty of this. You know, I took the decision last year to take Fridays off. And it started off really well to have that me time. And then it started to creep in the guilt of, should I be on a Friday? Because everyone else is working. I'm in the shop shopping, and I shouldn't be, because I should be at work. And, you know, it's almost like being in the naughty corner. And that was really difficult to get over, that transition of years of working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. But
yeah,
the same course, I know that the more I slow down and have quiet space for me, the more my cup is full, and then I can pour into my family, I can pour into my clients and my business, the more I show up in a better light.
Yeah. And obviously that's going to be my personal favorite. Because I think I see so many people coming at delegating from an angle of, Let's get those things off your plate so that then more can get done. When maybe that's not the end game. Maybe the end game is get some stuff off your plate so that you have some white space and time for yourself again, instead of every bucket that gets everything taken off your plate doesn't mean let's add more on. Maybe we just need to get less on your plate and keep it that way. So I have to ask you, what are some of the things that you do to fill you up when you're not working?
So I have a daydreaming chair, which I go to, and that's look at my house into the greenery area. And that's really nice just to have that time where it's not scheduled or it's not like this specific thing I have to do. It's just sit down, look outside, look at the clouds, and just
I love that. It's a daydream chair. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Got my head spinning. I'm like, I kind of feel like I have one for warmer weather, but now I'm going to have to challenge myself on a space like that inside. So you mentioned the 7 steps of delegation. Do you think we have time to kind of briefly touch on what that journey looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the step one would be very instructional. It's almost like a free book. Follow these steps, use these ingredients, get to this step. And then midway would be that they've kind of semi done it. They've done it without being asked. They know that they've got to cook the dinner, so they've done the steps, but then maybe you need to overlook it in the iPhone and check everything's okay, safety checks. And then 7 is you've come home and the dinner's cooked and on the table. You haven't had to say anything. It's all done. So it's amazing to get to that level 7. You wouldn't expect your kids, young kids, to get to that all the way. That would be heaven. But
I was going to say, if so, tell me what you're doing. But even though, like, I think back on, you know, my daughter's 13 now, things that I did used to have to check on regularly in terms of what our expectations were for her contribution for her room in the morning, like before school, here's what we, and it went from supervising it to spot checking. And now I just trust that it's being done. So I guess I do, you know, would I have liked to have gotten from point 1 to 7 a little quicker than I did? Maybe. But I do think that there are, I think there are ways where I can see that, you know, happening around the house as well too, which is really nice. Any tips that you have on how to, or when to maybe even feel comfortable starting to let go of that check-in so that we're not stuck in that step one of delegation, which still can feel very time consuming when you're first getting started?
Yeah, I think step one is almost micromanaging, holding onto the reins, which means you have no free time to think or any clarity. So when you do give those instructions, you follow up on it and check and give feedback. Oh, this is great, but next time I would consider, and then give the feedback. And then you will need to constantly give feedback until it gets to a point where you don't need to handle it. You don't need to check in at all, like we mentioned.
And would you say, you know, we're thinking about a team perspective, you know, obviously we can't fire our family, right? But, you know, maybe you're outsourcing something, whether it's an employee contract or whatever. How long do you feel, and I know it's probably different for different role, but at what point should it be a sign that maybe this is not the right person for, like, how long you're stuck in that step one area?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like to look at it from the perspective of, have I given them all the tools and resources they need to be fully equipped to perform that role? Do they have a job description? Did we have a 90-day onboarding process that had a clear success plan of what those first 90 days? Do we have KPIs in place so we can track their performance against numbers, statistics, to say that they've hit the bar or they're below the bar? Have I offered any coaching? Have I offered any training? So going through those benchmarks first, and if those have all been done, you've done follow-ups, and then you're seeing that there's still red flags, then that's a time to look at removing that.
I love that you highlighted all of those, everything that you highlighted in terms of onboarding and reviews. Like, it's so important if you are a business owner in particular to understand that some of that ownership is on us. We can't just hire people, give them very little direction, and then get frustrated when we're not seeing the results we wanted, when we haven't clearly, that's why I like communication is the first thing. Because I think that I see a lot of people who are quick to let people go when there wasn't, that poor person was never even given much of an opportunity to be super successful in that role. So I think that ties so beautifully back to your 5 steps there, starting with the communication. And I have to give a shout out to the amazing women on my team
because hearing you talk about that step seven, like, I am very blessed to have three amazing women that are at the step seven. I don't have to look at anything. And I'm very, very thankful for that. So I know you have a tool that folks can access to kind of help them understand where they are in their delegation journey. Let us know about that.
Yes, it's called What's Your Delegation IQ? And basically that is to help you stop the hustle, stop spinning plates, build a highly motivated team, and get back your time for more joy, more fulfillment. So you can go to selenajohnson.com/quiz to get access. And it's going to give you the step-by-steps of, okay, these are the missing gaps you have, and this is what you can do, the action steps you can take.
Oh, awesome. And guys, I'll have the link to that in the show notes here. And I want people to think, because if you're listening to this episode and you're like, okay, Megan, well, I don't have a business, this doesn't apply to me. If you are interacting with any group of people on a regular basis, you know, perfect example, the people with which you live in, these same things apply at home. And I think that we often think, oh, well, it's family, it's not a business. No, it's not a business, but you are a team of people that ideally we all want to have working together in harmony towards some collective goals, which is the exact same thing we would want as a business owner, right? We want our team and all of us working together in harmony to reach the collective set of goals. So, you know, while some of this, you know, of course, you're not going to be interviewing and onboarding, you know, if it's a member of your family, but so much of the things that you shared here today, Selena, I think translate beautifully, whether it's with a team and a business versus your team at home. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. I really appreciate it. Getting on top of all things time management, organization, and productivity doesn't have to stop just because this episode is over. If you want one-tap access to all of my training and current top podcasts, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Pink Bee app. It's one word, the Pink Bee. It is jam-packed with simple yet powerful tips and strategies to get you out of overwhelm and into harmony. And if you have a question you want me to cover on a future episode, go to iTunes and ask your question in the podcast review section. And while you're there, don't forget to leave a 5-star review.